Well, hello and welcome to St Andrew's and All Saints Online, our special service for this week coming from Malvern. This should have been our first Sunday, and after restrictions had lifted, we were expecting to be gathered together, a bit more crammed in than we have been in the last few months, and we were expecting to sing today. But unfortunately, we're still online, we're still socially distanced in church, and we're going to have to wait a few more weeks for that. But I want to encourage you, if you're sitting at home and you haven't tried in-person church yet, then I encourage you to try. I've had many people say to me in the last few weeks, I wasn't quite sure how it would be, thought it would be really odd singing, and it is a little bit odd, but it was so special and precious to be back in church worshipping alongside other people. So if you haven't yet tried to come back, why don't you try? Our services on a Sunday are at 10:30, and then our special new service, the 6, at 6 o'clock on a Sunday, and then our midweek service at 11 o'clock on Thursday morning, and you don't currently need to book in for any of those services. All Saints service 2 at 10 o'clock on each Sunday as well, which is also live streamed. This week we're going to continue our new sermon series, Called to be God's People, as we look at Romans chapters 12 to 15. And today we're going to be particularly thinking about call to love, how we're called to love each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. And Alice is going to share with us later on in the service. But before we talk about how we are called to love, I just want to invite us at the start of this service to dwell in God's love for us. 1 John 4 verse 19 says, we love because he, that's God, first loved us. We love because he first loved us. And then a verse from Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 17, one of my favourites. The Lord your God is in your midst. Wherever you are, at home, here in church, wherever we are, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. And the picture of that verse is of a devoted father singing over his baby, precious, dearly loved child. And as we begin this service, I just want you to picture that God, your devoted Father, singing over you, his precious child, and pouring his love into you. So let's for a moment just be still. And let's rest in the knowledge that you are deeply loved by God, the creator of the universe. Rest in the knowledge that God delights in you, that he wants to pour his love into your hearts, that this is a gift of grace that we don't deserve, that whatever we've done, whoever we are, you know, God loves us anyway. Just rest for a moment in his deep love for you.
won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, I won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, I won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow.
Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Lord God, we thank you that you pour your love into our hearts. We thank you that whatever we've done, that you love us just the same. That we are your precious, dearly loved children. As we come and meet to worship you today, may we know your love. May you pour your love into our hearts even more, that we may then go and pour that love out to others. Come and meet us this morning. Come and change us. Come and overwhelm us with your love. Amen. We're going to have our Bible reading later on in the service, but one of the verses we're going to hear read today is Romans chapter 12 verse 16, where it says this. It says, "Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position." That's what it means to love others, is to actually be prepared to associate with people who are not like us. And to serve them, and to raise them up, and to come alongside them, and to learn from them. And you know, a great example of that is one of our mission partners, the Fletcher family, working in the slums of Bangkok. And we've got an update video to share from them with you now. And I think as you watch this, just let it remind us that, you know, we're a bigger family than just here at St Andrews and All Saints in Malvern. We're not simply called to love each other here, but we're called to love God's wider family across the world. And we're called to love all of God's chosen people, God's precious people, whoever they are, wherever they're from. So let's hear this update from the Fletcher family and let that inspire us to love others.
Hi. We are Urban Neighbours of Hope Thailand. We make our homes in neighbourhoods facing urban poverty and seek to join in with God's kingdom coming in these places. Right now we have workers in three neighbourhoods. The Bestfords are in Lock 3, the Fletchers are in Rong Mu, the Porters are in Per Giap over the river, and this year we have Steve and Joanne Sanglier partnering with us in our exciting plans. Our rhythms of life focus around the slow work of relational presence in our neighbourhoods and amongst our neighbours. We listen and learn, support and encourage, amplify voices and ask serious questions about what would make a difference. How can we partner to break the cycles of urban poverty here? This is where our projects come in. practical expressions of our presence here. We run kids clubs with the hope of contributing to a safe, strong start in life. We have the Roy Rack Jewellery Project, which employs local women and gives much needed wage stability and a platform from which to better their family lives.
And this year we're trialling something new, an apprenticeship programme within our existing Roy Rack project. In listening to the youth in our neighbourhoods, their aspirations for future work are shockingly low. And if something gets in the way of staying in school, family chaos, needing to care for parents or younger siblings, having a baby of their own, then their options are even more limited. Together with our wonderful community project manager, Bui, who has teenage girls of her own, we designed a one-year vocational training programme to bring hope to this need. We're offering this to young people in our neighbourhoods, and we have one young woman signed up ready to start now. While completing her education, she will work with us part-time and join in with other development opportunities with the Roy Rack Women, learning about barista skills and customer service in the hospitality stream, the ins and outs of running a small business in the small business stream. She will learn first aid, motorbike maintenance, and hopefully pass her driving test in the life skills stream. And she will be coached, mentored, and helped to dream in the personal development stream. Our hope for this year is that as we navigate our own life circumstances, the growth, development, and hope of the people we work with will spill over from them to us and onto you. We're in this together. Be encouraged. These are the signs of the kingdom coming. This is what God wants, justice to roll on like a river. Please stand with us in this work. If you can donate financially, please do. We need funds for paying fair wages for our staff and apprentices, and for the behind-the-scenes admin, our building, our admin staff, all the vital support things in the background. And please pray for us. If you want to connect with us, find us at www.unoh.org. Thanks.
Hello, my name is Daryl Gardner and I'm the Commissioner for UNO. I'm wanting to share today about how well John and Elise Fletcher and the family are doing in Klong Toi Slum in Bangkok. It's an incredibly difficult place, very complex place, and they are there with their three children as part of UNO, reaching and caring for their neighbours. I'm here today to ask you to consider helping support them. They are short of their funding target to cover the costs of life in the slum and ministry in the slum, and the way all UNO members operate is basically by faith support, that is faithful people supporting them in their role in this very, very important task. If you'd like to know more, please talk to John or Elise, or feel free to talk to me. Thank you.
Every time I see the Fletcher's work, it just continues to inspire and humble me as to the sacrifices they've been prepared to do for, to follow God's call. So we're going to continue to pray for them in a moment. Andrew is going to lead us in prayer. But one of the particular needs of the Fletcher family at the moment is that they have had to return to the UK, sadly, because Elise's mum has been diagnosed with cancer and is undergoing significant treatment now. So they've come home for a little while just to be with the family. And so they particularly need our prayers and those who they've left behind at this time. So Andrew will lead us in a prayer for that in a moment. But first, let us just come in response to that to confess where we have not always loved others as God calls us to. And perhaps just for a moment, think this week of where have you not loved others? Maybe your family, maybe those you work with, maybe your neighbours, as God has called you to. And just in the quiet, say sorry to God and ask for his help to live differently. And we say together, God of mercy, your love for us is strong, but our love for you is weak. You call us to follow Jesus, but we are slow to obey. You care for all that you have made, but we ignore the needs of others and misuse your creation. We are sorry for our sins. Forgive us and help us to please you by the way we live through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And may God, who loved the world so much that he sent his Son to be our Saviour, forgive us our sins and make us holy to serve him in the world through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Let us pray. We give thanks for the Urban Neighbours of Hope in Thailand, that they carry on doing the amazing work that God has guided them to do. We give thanks for the Fletcher family, for John, Elise, Sammy, Elliot and Beau. We pray protection over them, especially throughout COVID. We pray for the 1-year vocational training program and apprenticeship program that we just heard in the video, that it leads to success and more young people coming to this amazing program. We pray for God to carry on blessing the Fletcher family in times of difficulty during COVID. We now pray for Elise's mum, Anne, as she is undergoing cancer treatment. We pray peace and protection upon Anne right now. And we also pray particularly for John and Elise as they bring back the three children to look after Anne. We pray particularly for the people around the world who are being prosecuted and tortured for their faith. We pray that their torturers will feel the God's peace upon them and set them free. Let us finish on the prayer that God has taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Oh, This reading is from Romans 12, verses 9 to 21.
Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good.
Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves.
Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour, serving the Lord.
Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer.
Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality.
Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse.
Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn.
Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position.
Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil.
Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone.
If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone.
Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written,
"It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord.
On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head.
Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So we're continuing our short series on the end of the Apostle Paul's letter to the Roman Church. And our intention in this series is for us to consider, after so long physically apart, what does it mean for us to be church as we come back together again? Now, what Paul is explaining in these verses of Romans 12 is what it means to be a Christ-centered community, and how following Jesus doesn't merely change our personal devotional life, but fundamentally changes how we relate to others, especially those within the church community. Now, just this week, I met with one of my closest friends. She's part of the leadership team of a large church in the UK. And she told me how since the pandemic, there have been a number of previously core, committed members of her church who have decided to leave their church after lockdown. Now, these people aren't joining any other church, but they felt that the pandemic had shown them how they preferred praying and worshipping at home as a family unit or as individuals, saying that they might check in on the online services sometimes, but they preferred doing church their own way. Now, in some ways, it's not really a surprise to hear these stories. We live in a culture that deifies individual choice. An online church has presented us with the discipleship light version of church, where we can fast forward the bits we don't like and avoid all the people that we might find challenging in any number of ways. But for Paul, authentically following Jesus is non-negotiably a devotion to a shared life with other believers. And typically a shared life with a diverse group of believers, many of whom are not like each other. That's the countercultural sign to the world that God is present in our midst. Not that we're another club of nice, like-minded people, but we're a diverse community across ages and races and socioeconomics and giftings and personal preferences who love and honour and serve one another because we have been loved, honoured and served by God. So when we see in verse 10, Paul saying, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love," he's saying to this racially and socially diverse church, despite your profound differences, being under the mercy and love of God means that you have become family to one another. Now, perhaps you are blessed with a brilliant earthly family, where your needs were met by others who consistently loved and nurtured you and sacrificed their own needs for your welfare. What an amazing gift. Or perhaps you weren't so fortunate and that has left a wound in your life. The calling of the Christian community is a calling to live out the sacrificial love of the best earthly families, but with people who are not related to us by blood or by law. Indeed, it is highly likely that we're called to be that family with many people who aren't particularly like us in earthly terms at all. But when the church sees ourselves as a family, sacrificially loving and honouring and supporting each other under the care of God, our Heavenly Father, what an amazing agent of healing we can be in a world full of fractured relationships. Take a moment to think now of the members of our church community. Perhaps think of some of the people you haven't seen for a long time. For whatever mysterious reason, this group of people has been brought together to reflect God's nature to you and to me. And these people are a key part of forming the character of Jesus in you and I, as we learn to relate to one another the Jesus way. And then together, as we do that, we reveal the character of God to the rest of the world. So the question is, how does a church become an authentically Jesus-shaped community? Well, firstly, by being family. The world's values would tell us to put you and yours first. Look out for number one. But the scriptures here say that we belong to one another. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. The relationships in our church should be so deep and sincere that the concerns of another brother and sister in the church should impact us as much as the concerns of our own earthly family. One of the things we have to be a bit alert to in the Western church is not to worship at the altar of the nuclear family. Don't get me wrong, it's right and proper to nurture and prioritise the needs of our own families. But the movement of the Spirit in shaping the church is to move us out beyond what is ours, to open our hearts and to open our lives to the other. If you think about God's dealing with humankind right from the beginning, his passion has been for the outsider, for the nations outside of Israel, for the widow, for the orphan, for the stranger, for the Gentile, for the sinner. For the church to be shaped in the image of God, our concerns must move beyond our immediate circle, beyond the people like us, to include those on the margins or those that need drawing into community and to the knowledge and the mercy and love of God. In verse 13, Paul says, share with God's people who are in need. Now, by this stage of the Christian church's history, they'd already seen the radical examples of this in the early church recorded in Acts 2. Where the Christian church shared everything that they had so that none had need. Now, when we understand ourselves as family to one another, the needs of another member of our church family becomes a need that bothers us, a need we pray for, a need we ask the Lord, am I part of their solution? Now, there have been some wonderful examples of this in our church community through the past year. I think of how the Finn family would testify how another member of the church made their mortgage payments while Chris and Lucy were unable to work during the pandemic. But needs aren't always financial. Needs come in all sorts of forms. A need for friendship, a need for guidance and mentoring, a need for prayer, a need for courage, a need for food or resources. As I wrote this talk, I recalled how in the thick of the very first lockdown, and it felt like our family was drowning in the homeschooling, working from home experience, one day Mary Flynn turned up on our doorstep with cakes and a whole host of resources and crafts that might help soften the blow of primary school homeschooling. This is church as family. Firstly, when we're open enough to share our needs, and secondly, when our needs are shared by others as if they are their own. Verse 15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. As we relate to one another as family, we keep pace with one another. Your joys become my joys. I'm not detached from your pain. I carry it to the Lord and ask him, am I to play some part in easing this pain? As the nation unlocks, there will be people who've deeply evaluated their lives and will be looking for a community to belong to. Some might visit our community and try us out for size. And as we relate to one another the Jesus way, carrying one another's needs and burdens, people won't just find the sense of belonging that they can find at the golf club, but they will find God himself in our midst. So the first thing that the Spirit does in a church to form a Jesus-shaped community is to create family. And then the second movement of the Spirit in creating church is the movement of hospitality. Now in verse 13, Paul uses these two simple words, practice hospitality. Now I've got a confession for you. For years, whenever I heard the word hospitality in a talk, I used to wince. To me, it conjured up images of hosting delicious and complicated meals whilst chatting casually to the guests as they arrive. And I know from experience that to a good number of you listening today, that is as easy as falling off a log. But for me, it's a nightmare, as I don't really enjoy cooking and I certainly can't cope with casual conversation while chopping onions. So the thought of hospitality always made me feel deeply inadequate. But over recent years, I've come to understand that God's hospitality at heart is not about cooking fancy meals. Biblical hospitality is about making space for the other. It's about opening our hearts to another. It's moving from this to this as we make space for one another. We make space for Christ. When we lived in Shrewsbury, a couple of us began a befriending ministry in an area of deprivation near where we lived. I'd never done anything like this before, and I agonised over how I could bring Jesus in a relevant way to that community. And as the work began, I believed that we were hosting the presence of God in that place. And our guests were there to receive our hospitality in those bacon butties after the school drop-off. But as the months and the years went by, it slowly became clear that we were never really the hosts at all. Even though I couldn't see it when I first went there, Jesus was already so powerfully present in that community long before we got there. He was present in the laments of a community overlooked. He was present in the tenacity of lives riddled with misuse and betrayal, but daring to risk relationship again. He was present in the young lad with a broken life who organised a community litter pick because he didn't want younger kids to be hurt on the local playground. I met Jesus 1,000 different ways in that community. I went as the host, but I found myself the guest of Jesus, already at work. Christian hospitality is not an encounter of power where we hold all the cards. Christian hospitality is where we open our lives to another, and as we do, we find that Jesus enters in. You may have seen Rublev's famous icon of the Trinity before. Here, Rublev portrays so powerfully the unity of the Trinity that Helen spoke about last week, with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit submitting to and honouring one another in perfect union. But the power of the icon is in the way the artist has made space for the viewer to take their place at the table of God. Do you see the open space at the front of the table, inviting us in to join the community of God? The mercy of God, the sacrifice of the Son, and the hospitality of the Holy Spirit create space for each one of us at the table of God. Practicing hospitality means following God's lead and making room in our lives for the other. Hospitality isn't a meal, but it's a posture we hold in the world. It's a heart that creates space for another, anticipating that Jesus is already there with the guest we invite. We don't need to host a lavish meal to hold that posture. We carry that into every encounter of our days. When we meet a fellow dog walker, a frustrated child, a weary cashier, an exhausted parent in the playground, a life group member, a spouse. At each encounter, hospitality would ask, "How can I make space for this person? And in doing so, how is Jesus present in our midst?" Now, the shape of our church community is going to look quite different to the one that went into lockdown 15 months ago. New people have moved into the area in that time and felt called to join St Andrew's and All Saints. Some of us who have been members of St Andrew's for a long time might struggle to feel part of the community after being away physically for so long. There are also new Christians who've come to faith in lockdown through Alpha or through a sovereign work of God. And their faith is fresh and vibrant, but like fragile shoots. Some of these guys are longing for community. Some are feeling the pull of their old lives very deeply. They are looking for the family Paul is writing about here. A Jesus-shaped community is one that makes space for the other. I wonder, what would it mean for you to make space for the new people or for people who are struggling to connect in our community? Perhaps you might be able to help out at one of the reconnecting events happening through the summer. Each Saturday morning through July, we're opening up the church to serve coffee to anyone who would like. What a brilliant way to make space at the table of God for our local community and to our friends and our contacts. And if you want to know how to get involved, just contact the church office or Dave or me. Or if you'd like to invite someone, just turn up, bring a friend, bring a neighbour, bring an enemy. Why not try one of the other reconnecting events? And there's lots of details of those on the church website. Or perhaps you're someone who could create community around some of the new believers in our church. Could you invite somebody new for coffee? Are you someone who could pray for one of our new believers? Are you someone who could spend time getting to know them and find out their needs and their gifts? I know at least one of these new Christians would love to have the opportunity to live and to lodge with mature Christians at this formative time in their faith journey. Is this some way that God might be asking you to physically make space for another? And if you feel that that is God speaking to you about that, then please contact Dave or me to talk about that some more. And the third and final movement of the Spirit in creating a Jesus-shaped community is in making space for our enemies. Paul includes some of the most difficult teaching of the way of Jesus in this letter. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Do not repay evil for evil. Do not take revenge. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. At the heart of Jesus's earthly teaching had been this radical call to the love of our enemies. Think back to Rublev's icon, the community of the Godhead, making space for the other at the feast of God. The ultimate act of the hospitality of God was shown in the open arms of Jesus hanging from a cross. The death of Jesus, his blood shed for a world separated from God by sin and brokenness. That cruel death made a way for us to sit at the table of God and be welcomed in as honoured guests. God, forever the gracious host, welcoming in the unworthy and the unforgivable. The core identity of the Christian church is to make space for the outsider, to embrace the broken, to welcome those different from us, and even to welcome our enemies. Earlier in Paul's letter in chapter 5, verse 10, Paul writes, "While we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son." Corrie ten Boom was a young Christian Dutch woman when she and her family were sent to Ravensbrück concentration camp for hiding Jews from Nazi persecution in their native Holland. And in the concentration camp, they faced barbaric treatment, and ultimately the appalling conditions and violence they faced killed her beloved sister Betsy while they were there. After the war, Corrie ten Boom travelled across mainland Europe, sharing her story and the message of the love of God. And one day at the end of one of her talks, she was approached by a man who thanked her for her talk about the mercy and the love of God and held out his hand to shake hers. In that moment, she recognised him as the most brutal guard from the concentration camp where her sister had died. In that moment, she tells how she had a choice. Would she make space in her heart for this man who had shattered her life? Corrie chose to extend her hand towards him. And as she made space in her heart for her enemy, she found Jesus met her with healing and with peace that could have come to her no other way. The way that the Holy Spirit forms a Jesus-shaped church is to move us from this, protecting, prioritizing what is mine, and he moves us to this, offering what we are, what we've been given in gifting, and resources. And finally, he moves us to this, a life in union with Jesus, where we courageously make space, even for our enemies. For in so doing, we meet with God himself. We're going to close by prayerfully responding to what God has spoken through his word. And we're going to use Rublev's icon once more. So let's take an attitude of prayer. Look at the image of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit once more. Notice the way that the community of God is making space for you. Hear their invitation to join them. Take your place at the table of God. As you sit at the table of God, become aware of others who might be sitting there with you. Perhaps others from the community here at St. Andrew's, or others that you know. Many are comfortable, confidently enjoying the company of God. But are there others who are struggling to find their place at the table? In the quiet, ask the Lord, is there someone I could make space for? Is there some change I could make to create space to support and encourage another member of the church family? Or am I being called to create space to welcome and encourage a new Christian in our community? Or perhaps there is a relationship where you're struggling to love, to forgive. Someone you have closed your heart to. It might be somebody in church, a spouse, a colleague, a neighbour. In the quiet, ask the Lord for the grace to create space in your heart and in your life once again. You might like to hold your hands out to the Lord as a way of saying, I want to move from holding back to making space for you, Lord, for the other. Offer what God has spoken to him now. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you for your welcome to your community of love and grace. We offer ourselves to you. Give us the grace to be shaped into a community that looks like you, that all the world would see how great you are. Amen.
And now we're going to finish our worship service with the words of that glorious hymn. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee, how great thou art. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made, I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy power throughout the universe display.
Well, as we come to the end of our service, I want to just give a few notices about reconnecting events coming up. And firstly, I noticed just to say that Eddie and Hannah and Oliver's farewell, which was due to be on July the 18th, we've had to put back because of the delay to the roadmap. So that is now going to be at the very end of the summer on Sunday, the 29th of August. Do put that date in your diary. We're hoping to have a hog roast and a bouncy castle and a few other things to send them off. And they're going to be leaving Malvern just a couple of days later. So please do set aside that date for a really good farewell to them. We also are due, if you're watching us on Sunday, to be having a picnic today on the common at 12 noon if you're watching the service in the morning, so do come and join us for that. We'll have to meet in separate groups of 30 people just to keep lawful in that. And there are some other events on the mailing too. Do have a look at those coming up, some afternoon teas with Val and Nick the Fane and Ali and Chris Messley. Curate's Barbecue coming up this week as well. Do get in touch with those directly to book your places with that. It's been great to just start off the SHAPE course with several different groups, including our youth. And just to say, if you're still interested in being doing an evening course with that, then several of the life groups are going to be starting in the next few weeks. That, and if you'd like to join one of those groups for the SHAPE course over the next few weeks, then please drop me an email and I will connect you up with a group. And finally, we're going to share the blessing together. And I had the privilege, when I'm recording this, just of a couple of hours ago, going and having a cup of coffee with Mike and Peggy Greenaway. And as we were sitting there chatting at 5 to 12, Peggy's alarm went off. And she said, you know, this is the alarm to remind us to do our noonday prayer together. And it was such a privilege to sit with them and do the noonday prayer together that they've been doing every noontime for the last 15 months throughout the pandemic. And we're going to finish today with the final prayer on that. And I just want to encourage you, maybe that will inspire you to get that out again. It's on our website under Discipleship Resources Daily Prayer, and to start using that again. If you've stopped using that. But Peggy, bless her, knows it off by heart by now. And it was just so lovely to do that with them. So let us say this final prayer together. May the peace of the Lord Christ go with us, wherever we may be. May he guide us through the wilderness, protect us through the storm. May he bring us home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown us. May he bring us home rejoicing once again into our doors. Amen. And so let us go out into the world to love and serve God. And knowing the love that God has for us, let's go and demonstrate and pour out that love on a needy world. God bless and take care.